The 13th, we are in Perchilik on Daf Tzadi Zayin. So on Tzadi Zayin, both Amud Aleph and Amud Beis are mostly talking about the Darsha Ben David Ba, what it's going to look like before Mashiach comes. And we have all kinds of predictions, statements. Most of them are not good, and the type of thing that we wouldn't want to be there for. Of course, we want to be there for Mashiach, but the what precedes Mashiach is pretty dismal. Now, there are some significant issues over here in this whole discussion of waiting for Mashiach. We know one of the questions that were asked, Achar Me'ev Esrim, is Tzipisa Yeshua. Did you hope when you mitzapah? Did you hope for Mashiach? And we know that we know one of the animamins is to be mechake for Yeshua, for Mashiach, to wait for him. So it doesn't really matter who wrote the animamins and whether they line up. Most of them do not line up with the Rambam, but whether they do line up or don't line up. But there are other shitas over there. Lamaisa, the animamin does say to wait for Mashiach. So. That is something which we know, and it's something which we're told that from a young age that we're supposed to be waiting for Mashiach. We know the Gemara Erevin tells us the Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos or on Yontif, so it is wrong. It is a mistake to say that Mashiach can come any time. That's not true. But we're supposed to wait for him all the time. We are supposed to want him to come all the time. Every day, all the time, we're supposed to wait for him and want him. The Gemara at the end of Tzadi Zayin and Beis brings a machlekes for Belezer and Yeshua. Actually, before that, let's move back before that. The Gemara at the end of Tzadi Zayin and Beis says, has a whole discussion about how we're supposed to be waiting for Mashiach. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni Amar Yonasan, Tipach Atzman or Atzmoisan Shal Machash VeKitzin, the bones of those who try to calculate when Mashiach is coming, their bones should spoil, they should rot. Shahayu Oimrim, because they would say Kiven Shegiya Sakeitz V'Loi Ba, once the time comes and Mashiach hasn't come yet, Shuvein Oba, he's not coming, he's no longer coming. So you're not supposed to sit there and try to figure out when Mashiach is going to come. That's just asking for disappointment. El Chakelo, you have to wait for him. And it brings a pasuk. Shnemarim Yisma Mea Chakelo. Shema Tamar Ono Mechakim Huena Mechak. And maybe you'll say, we're waiting, but he's not waiting. Hashem's not waiting. Tamalam Lachin Yechake Hashem Lachanan Chem. Lachin Yorum Lerachem Chem. And Hashem is also waiting. So, if we're waiting and he's waiting, so what's stopping Mashiach from coming? The answer is Midas Hadin Ma'akeves. It is Hashem's attribute of justice that is holding it back. So, so then why are we waiting? If anyway, he's not coming because he's being held back by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so why are we waiting? So the answer is the Kabal Schar. In order to get Schar, Shnemar Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi, fortunate are anybody who wait for him. So the Gemara is saying very clearly over here that even if a Navi would come and tell us that you should know he is not coming in your lifetime, you're still supposed to wait for him. You're still supposed to be mechakeh for him. So it's clear from this Gemara that waiting for Mashiach is not contingent on Mashiach actually coming in our day. Waiting for Mashiach is in itself a mitzvah. You get schar for waiting for Mashiach, for anticipating the coming of Mashiach. That in itself is a schar.
Now, what does that mean? Does that mean singing We Want Mashiach Now songs?
Well, it can't be, because you see the Gemara is saying that even if you know he's not coming in your day, so it can't be We Want Mashiach Now, right? Uh-huh. Unless it's just We Want Mashiach. Right.
You truly not know who's going to be in your day. I mean,
no, we don't.
Isn't it always possible for a Kodesh Baruch Hu to overrule a prophet for good but not for evil?
You're right that he might come. We don't know that he won't come. But the Gemara, you see from this Gemara that it has nothing to do with whether he's coming or not.
Right.
Right?
But even if you think he's not coming...
There's no way for us to know whether he would be or wouldn't be. That's true. There's no way for us to know. So, of course, we're always anticipating he should come in our day. But what I'm saying is that even if, theoretically, we would know that he wasn't coming, it wouldn't matter. We're still supposed to be mechakala. That's you see from the Gemara. That even though the Midas Adin is holding back, it's a schar. You're supposed to wait. That's his schar to wait for Mashiach. Yeah. Rabbi Asa, yeah.
It occurred to us that all those that gave simanim for Mashiach, isn't that in a sense mechash vekate?
Yes.
In a sense?
Yes. Okay, we're going to get to that. That's a good question. Yeah.
So it seems from the Gemara that you waiting for him doesn't actually propel his coming either.
Not necessarily, and we don't know. That doesn't... You mean in this particular context?
Because it says, well, what's the good of waiting for him? And it says, well, you'll
get
scarred. It doesn't say...
He's coming.
He's coming.
Yeah. It's Rabbi Nassan, right? That's Rabbi Nassan's sheet that you should have Mashiach Machash at the gates.
Yeah. Now, on Amud Aleph, the Gemara tells us... Ki hadur of Zera, towards the bottom of the page, ki have a mashkach rabbanan to ma'aski bay, when he would find rabbanan who were involved in the coming of Mashiach, and that's what they were learning about. Rashi says, the ma'aski bay leida masayava, to know when he's going to come. Amaluhu, you would say to them, b'matusa, I ask of you, lo sidchakuha, don't push off Mashiach. By you sitting here trying to figure out when he's going to come, that in itself is pushing away Mashiach. Why? The Tanina, for we learned, Gimel Boin Behazachadas, three things come when a person does not pay attention. Elohim, these are they, Mashiach, Mitzia, Va'akrav. Mashiach, a lost object, and a scorpion. Mm-hmm. They come when a person doesn't pay attention. So Mashiach is not going to come if one is going to pay attention to when he's going to come. So this is a very difficult thing to work out. On the one hand, we're being told you're supposed to wait for Mashiach, anticipate the coming of Mashiach, be mechaka for Mashiach, be mitzapa for Mashiach. We're going to be asked that after 120 years, did we do that? It's very important. And at the same time, Rav Zera is saying, don't be Isaac, don't be involved in the coming of Mashiach, because that actually pushes him away, because he will only come with Hesach Hadas, when people are not paying attention. So it's difficult how to reconcile these two things. And before we get to that, Rabbi Asa asked that, what does it mean that the bones of those who are machashve haketz, that those who are calculating when the ketz is going to be, that they should rot, they should spoil? The Gemara has several predictions. The Gemara is saying not to believe them, but the Gemara is citing some pretty chashuva people who made predictions. The Gemara says on Amud Beis, Shalach lei Rav Chanan bar Tachlifa le Rav Yosef Matzasi alam echad uviyada imigila achas ksuva ashuris v'loshen kodesh amati loy zumina. And look, where'd you get this? Amar loy lechayolos shel roimi niskarti. Rashi has Parsi ubein ginze roimi mitzasiya v'kasuv ba. And it says in it la'achar dal apayim dal alafim masayim. The Gemara changes this to ushloishim echad shana le briyos shalom. Well, I'm not sure. Yitoim mehen yitoim. Trying to know what that word is. But after 4,291 or 31 years from the creation of the world, then they'll end, the mehen melchamos tinyanim or taninim mehen melchamos gagumagai gushayim oisam Mashiach. That's when Mashiach is going to come. There'll be melchamos gagumagai and other things going on. And Hashem won't renew the world after 7,000 years. After 5,000 years, Eitmar was taught. Time of Nasan Oimer Mikra Zet Naikiv Yard Out to Haim. This pasuk, it goes down to the depths. Kiyoid Chazan Lamoid VeYipach LeKeitz VeLoy Chazev Im Yismameach HaKeloi Ki Bo Yavai. He won't be late. He won't delay. He will come. Not like our ancestors, our Rebbeim, Shoyudarshan, Ad Idin Idnin Upalag Idan. until a time and two times and half a time, which Rashi explains means the year 4500. Which Rashi says means, what year is that? Rashi says 10 years after, from the time 1410 years, I'm sorry, before it was 1400 years, now it's 1410 years from the time of Churban Habayis. That's what it seems like it's counting. And that time comes out to what? That time comes out to a little bit more than that. Okay, whatever it is, all these years are coming out to a little bit more, but not that much more. So don't listen to any of these things that came before us. Ela malchus rishon shivim shana malchus shniyah chamishim u'shtayim malchus ben koziva shtei shana u'metza ma'ivim bachal keitz v'lein chazem v'mashmur b'anachmeni amal yonason. Okay, that's what we just said. That, so Mashiach is going to come one way or another, but don't pay attention to all the cheshbonos that were made before. So what are they making cheshbonos for? I mean, Rabbi Kiva made a cheshbon, others made cheshbonos. It is said that the Gra made a cheshbon. So what are they making cheshbonos if the Gemara says over here that you're not supposed to make cheshbonos? So I heard on a shir from Rav Shalom Kamenetsky that he asked, that he heard that he was in a sukkah where some gedolim were talking over this question, and various answers were given, that's a different story. He answered. He heard an answer how can they make cheshbonos? Because there are psukim in Tanakh that talk about the coming of Mashiach and when it's going to happen. In Sefer Daniel, there is a reference to when Mashiach is going to come. When is Ketz Hayamin? And he tells you, there's a cheshbon over there. Of course, it's very cryptic. And there are other places as well in Tanakh. So it depends on what the motivation of the person who's trying to figure it out is. If a person is trying to figure it out because they want to know when Mashiach is going to come, that's tipach atzmaisaf. That's bad. If a person is just trying to get pshat in the pasuk, he's learning Torah. He's trying to get pshat in the pasuk. Getting pshat in Sefer Daniel is not a bad thing. So that the Gra was just trying to get pshat in Sefer Daniel. Now,
Rabbi Yonasan is immediately coming after all these other nine.
It's very difficult to say. He would say tipach atzmaisaf of Rabbi Kiva, right? It would be very difficult to say. So I would reject that out of hand. It can't be that he's saying tipach atzmaisaf of Rabbi Akiva. So it has to be that Rabbi Kiva had a shita that justified making a cheshbon, even though tipach atzmaisaf shel machash v'haketz.
That's if he says the Mashiach. Is that his version of being Mitzipios and the Mashiach?
I'm not sure. I don't know. You find the Gemara in Ksubas says, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, the Gemara says, in the Pasuk says, Hishpati Yeschem Benois Yerushalayim Bitzvois O Baal Yois HaSodeh. Hashem says, I made you, the Benois Yerushalayim, meaning the Jews, take a Shvuah. What is that telling us? So Rav Zera says, it tells us Hahu Shel Yalu Yisrael Bechayma or Bechema, that Klal Yisrael should not go back to Eretz Yisrael Bechayma. Rashi says Yachad Biyad Chazaka. Klal Yisrael should not go back to Eretz Yisrael before Mashiach comes with a strong arm. We should not go storm into Eretz Yisrael and take it over. That's one shot. But it says Hishpat Yeschem several times. So the Gemara says another pshat. It's Lechad Rav Yossi Rav Chanina Damar Gimel Shvuos Halal Lama. What are these three shvuos that are mentioned? Because it says it three times. Achash L'Yal Yisrael B'chaima. One is Klal Yisrael should not go up to Eretz Yisrael during the time of Golas. They should not go up with a strong arm. V'achas Sheishmi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Shlo Yimredu Bu'umas HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us swear that we will not rebel against the nations of the world, that as long as it's not time for the Geula, we will remain under the control of the God. Yisrael, and we will not attempt to rebel. That Hashem made the Goyim swear that they would not rule us in too heavy-handed a way. That's another shvuah. So there's a three shvuahs. Rav Yehuda says like this, that there's really six shvuahs, because it says im ta'iru v'im ta'iru, and it says it three times each. So it's six shvuahs. So the Gemara says, Shei shvuahs lama, what are these six shvuahs? T'las, the first three are hani d'amar, and the ones we said. The Klai Yisrael should not go up to Eretz Yisrael with a strong arm, together. Two, we shouldn't rebel against the Goyim. Three, they shouldn't suppress us too much. What about the other three? Einach, the other three. Number one, Shal yigalu es haketz. We shouldn't give away when Mashiach is coming. V'shalo yirchaku es haketz. We shouldn't push off when Mashiach is coming. V'shalo yigalu hasoy levi gechabim. We should not give away the secrets to the Goyim. So what does that mean? Zakt Rashi. Shlo yigalu es haketz. We shouldn't give away when Mashiach is coming. Zakt Rashi, neviim shebeinayim. Well, who knows when Mashiach is coming? The neviim. They shouldn't give it away. Vishlo yichaku es haketz. We shouldn't push off the ketz. Rashi has two pshatim. Ba'avaynam. By doing averis, which pushes off when Mashiach is coming. Lishna achrin, another pshat. Shlo yidchaku garsinim. We shouldn't push the ketz. Lashon doichek. Shlo yarbu b'tachanunim al-kach yosem yidai. We shouldn't daven too hard that Mashiach should come. Don't push it. And finally, we shouldn't give away the secret. Amrila, some say, it's the secret of how to be koveya when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. We shouldn't give that away to the Goyim. Amrila, tamei Torah. Another say it's the secrets of Torah itself. As we know, it is usher to teach Torah to Goyim, and one should not do that. One should not be a source to teach Torah to Goyim. So these are six shvuas that we took, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. One of them is for the Goyim to take. At any rate, you see that there are people who know when Mashiach is coming. There can't be a shvua not to give away when Mashiach is coming, when is the Ketz, unless there are people who know when the Ketz is. Clearly there are people who know. Now Rashi says, Nevi'im Shebeinehem. It's the Nevi'im who know. It could be that there are Talmidei Chacham who could figure it out.
Well, you know Yaakov knew.
Yaakov knew, but it was the sod was taken away from him when he tried to tell the Yidden, his sons. So it is not something that is meant to be known. it's interesting. Rav Shalom also pointed out in the same shir that normally we say Lo b'shamayim hi. When it comes to Torah, we say that we have control over it, that we can pass in a certain way, we can learn up a sugya a certain way and pass in a certain way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, if that's the way Klal Yisrael learns it, of course if it's legitimate, but that's how Klal Yisrael learns it, then that trumps the quote unquote perfect explanation of the pasuk. That's the way it goes. Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah was given to Bnei Adam. But when it comes to the Ketz, when it comes to Mashiach, it seems that that was taken away from us. That this HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want anybody tampering with. It is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He does not want Klal Yisrael to be involved in dealing with the Ketz. It is going to happen when it's going to happen, and it's not our business. Our business is to learn Torah, to keep the mitzvahs, to do Avodas Hashem. It's not our business to be involved in the intricacies of Mashiach. So there is, in my opinion, a mixed message. On the one hand, we are told, wait for Mashiach, hope for Mashiach, anticipate Mashiach. There's a pus, there are psukim that whet our appetite by giving us hints to when Mashiach is going to come. It's almost tantalizing. It's almost like waving a carrot in front of us to get us to think about it. And then we're told, don't think about it too much. We're told, don't be mechashev es haketz. If you happen to know it, don't give it away. it's only going to happen with hesach hadas. So it's not a simple position to know exactly how we're supposed to be thinking about Mashiach. Now, it seems to me that what is the point that is being made by all of these by all these memras and these gemaras, these psukim, is that every yid has to know that Mashiach is going to come, irrespective of whether he comes in our day or not. We all have to know that Mashiach is going to come. The Chavetz Chaim lived over 100 years anticipating Mashiach with a packed bag, and then he died and Mashiach didn't come in his day. So does that mean that he was a fool, that he had a suitcase packed and ready to go? Of course he wasn't a fool. He was doing what you're supposed to do, which is wait for Mashiach to come. But the Gemara tells us, don't delve into it, don't think about it too much. In fact, the Gemara says, don't, as Rashi says in Maseches Ketubos, don't even daven too hard for it. So what do you mean? I mean, our davening is replete with psukim, with tefillos, with brachas that have to do with Kadosh Baruch Hu bringing the cates. So it seems that we're supposed to have an attitude of wanting Mashiach, knowing that he's going to come, even davening for Mashiach, but not becoming despondent and not becoming overly aching for Mashiach to come. That we have to accept the fact that we are in Golus, and our Avodas Hashem, at least now, is through a Golus lens. So then, well, what is that? So how far are we supposed to go? I've mentioned this to you before, that they bring a maaser with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichron Racha, that there was a man in Toronto that a yid that used to keep his store open on Shabbos, and they say that some people got to him and convinced him to close his store on Shabbos because Mashiach is coming imminently, and he doesn't want to be having his store open on Shabbos when Mashiach comes, and how embarrassing is that? So they got him to close his store on Shabbos. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky allegedly went to this man and told him that, or maybe the man came to Rav Yaakov, but he told him, no, you know what, I think the man came to Rav Yaakov and asked if it's true. Asked if he should close his store on Shabbos because Mashiach is going to come. So Rav Yaakov told him that he should definitely close his store on Shabbos. However, Mashiach is not necessarily coming. So the man opened his store on Shabbos because he wasn't ready to buy into it if Mashiach wasn't coming. So they asked Rav Yaakov that I don't understand. He would have closed the store on Shabbos. What do you have to dissuade him of his fervor? If he's ready to buy into the whole system, let him close the store on Shabbos. So Rav Yaakov told them that right now he's a mechalel Shabbos, which is a terrible thing. He's a mechalel Shabbos. He's not keeping Shabbos, but he believes in Mashiach, so he's not a kofer. He doesn't deny Mashiach, which means he doesn't deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he closes his store and Mashiach doesn't come, then he will give up his belief in Mashiach. And that's much worse. Because then he's a kofer. Then he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We do not base our Yiddishkeit on Mashiach. We don't say that we keep the Torah because Mashiach is going to come. That is not why we keep the Torah. We keep the Torah because we were told to keep it, and we accepted it, and we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the things that the Torah says is that Mashiach is going to come. We have to believe it, accept it, and anticipate it. But that is not why we keep the Torah. We keep the Torah because we have to, irrespective of whether Mashiach comes or not. So then what is this belief in Mashiach? Now, to be honest, my Rashiva of Weinberg's Haracha once talked about this, and I remember him discussing the question, but unfortunately I do not remember the answer, the direction he took with his answer. I'm hoping that some of what he said sunk in, and that's what's percolating in my mind, and that's what I'm going to share with you. But I can't say for sure. It appears to me that the issue the perspective that the Gemara is explaining to us and that the Pesukim are explaining to us is that a Jew who lives his life believing that Mashiach will come lives it differently than a Jew who does not believe that Mashiach is going to come. What does that mean? It means like this. We live in America in the year 2010, 5770. we live our lives trying to be good Jews. So we men, we come to Minyan 3 times a day, we learn several times a week, perhaps every day, if we should learn every day. We put on tefillin, we wear tzitzis, we keep Shabbos, we keep the Yomim Tovim, we take off of work early on a Friday in the winter, and we take off days of Yontif. We send our kids to from schools. We pay through the nose in tuition. We do what we do, things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. Do we live our lives believing that this is the way things are meant to be, or do we live our lives believing that this is not the way things are supposed to be? That's the difference between anticipating Mashiach or not. A person who lives his life with his bag packed for Mashiach is not thinking that the way things are the way things are meant to be. He is thinking that this is not the way things are meant to be, and I'm ready to give it all up. And that's really the key. I'm ready to drop it all. See, another point that Rav Shalom made in the shir that I heard is that we know that once Mashiach comes, then the potential for us to earn more Olam Haba becomes significantly diminished, if not non-existent. Because if there's no struggle, then we can't earn Schar anymore. Schar is because we have a struggle. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning, but I get out of bed and come to davening. That's how I get my Schar. I don't want to come to learn, but I come to learn anyway. That's how I get my schar. I don't want to pay the tuition, but I pay it anyway. That's how I get my schar. This is all schar. It comes from the struggle. That's where it comes from. If Mashiach comes and things are easy, then we lose our schar. So we're not going to get rewarded. So why would we want Mashiach to come? So Shalom said, this was the question he heard asked, Gedolim speaking about, and the answer that he gives a few answers, but the primary answer he gave was that enachinami. Personally, it may not be good that Mashiach comes. Personally. But we're not in this for ourselves. We're in this for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for Kvod Shamayim, it is a shanda. It's a terrible thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not recognized in the world. And we don't live for ourselves. We live for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we want Mashiach to come so that all the world will know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does that mean that personally we won't have it the way we have it now? Yeah. But that doesn't matter. We still have our eyes and our sights set on Mashiach. It's easy to say, but think about it. Think about other aspects of our lives. See, when our ancestors lived under intense persecution in Europe, so the longing for Mashiach was palpable, and it was something which everybody wanted to get out of their situation. The situation was terrible. Now, we can think of Mashiach as a utopian world, but we are going to give up things when Mashiach comes. We're going to give up whatever comfort we have here. We're going to give up, assuming we go to Eretz Yisrael with everybody else. We know things are going to be good, but good in what way? It's a little bit unknown, and people are never comfortable going into the unknown. And there's even if one is living a very comfortable and enjoyable life, one has to live it knowing that this is not ideal. This is not the way things are meant to be. We are meant to be in Eretz Yisrael with the Melech HaMashiach, with the Beis HaMikdash, with the entire world being aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the tzipisa liyeshua, the mechake towards Mashiach, is to live life understanding that this is less than ideal. Naturally, a person doesn't do that. Naturally, a person wants to believe that the way they're living and what they're doing is good. We naturally try. We don't want to believe that we're somehow being we're somehow living a second-rate life. We don't want to believe that. We want to believe we're living a first-rate life. It's hard sometimes to keep in mind this is all second-rate. Anything we do, all of our accomplishments, all of the things that we do in this world are all second-rate because Mashiach isn't here. and people don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not necessarily easy to do that. The Tzipisa li Yeshua sends that home, sends that message home. Even if Mashiach does not come in our day, doesn't matter. Still, this is not the ideal way that we're supposed to be. This is second rate. That, I think, is where the balance is coming from, of yes, being aware Mashiach is going to come, even wanting Mashiach to come, but at the same time, accepting the fact we're in Galus right now, and we have to make the best of the way we are right now, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not pine away from Mashiach, which would then be debilitating and not allow us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the state that we're in right now. That's where I think you have this balance of Tzipis Eli Yeshua. I don't know about all of you, and for me, there's no question that in this balance, then I don't do enough of Tzipis Eli Yeshua. But that's where I'm lacking. I have to be mitzapeh more. I'm not at the point, like the Gemara and Ksuba says, of being too pushy for Mashiach to come. Halavai, that should happen. Then I should get to a point where I have to pull back because I'm anticipating him too much. But at the same time, there is a balance. There is a balance between the two things, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between wanting Mashiach to come, knowing Mashiach is going to come, but not overdoing it. Now, there's an interesting... it's interesting that the Gemara, in presenting the time before Mashiach, presents horrible things. How there's going to be famine, and there's going to be destruction, and there's going to be things that will be expensive, there's going to be chutzpah, there's going to be sheker, all kinds of things in the world that are terrible. What is the need for that before Mashiach comes? Why does the situation have to get so bad before Mashiach comes?
Contrast.
So that's what it appears. It appears that there's meant to be a contrast. That things are supposed to get so bad, and then suddenly Mashiach comes, and that then everything gets turned on its head.
It has nothing to do with, just like in Mitzrayim, where they had to suffer a certain amount, and it has intensified it at the end so that it would...
It's possible. It's possible, but that would explain the suffering. That wouldn't explain the chutzpah yaskin. It wouldn't explain those sorts of things. It's a form of suffering, but there are all kinds of suffering. Why do we need that suffering?
Mm-hmm.
The relative sorts of suffering. Why does there have to be sheker in the world?
That,
see, yeah.
I mean,
sheker
has to do with the fact there's two modes of coming in there, you know, where it's.
Right. So that could be. Could be has to do with that. Could be.
Where it's the case where we
resolve
to.
Yeah, it could be that's the shot.
Isn't that just a natural outgrowth of Galut? And the longer it goes on, if he's waiting until the last moment that he has to, so then that'll just increase, you know. Until it'll never wane, it'll always wax.
Okay. The Gemara digresses in the middle of the discussion about Mashiach with this interesting story on Tzadi Zayin Amin Aleph about the city called Kushta, called Truth. The Gemara says, Rashi, at the end of Tzadi Vav Beis, says it's brought in Agav because the Pasuk mentions Vatihi HaEmes Nederes, that the Emes will be lost. So the Gemara says, that Rav Tavus said, or Rav Tavumi said, he would never lie, no matter what. So why? So the Gemara says, Zinachada Ikloi Lahu Asra, one time I went to this place, the Kushta Shmei, its name was Truth. V'lohavu Meshani B'diburayu, they would never lie. No one would ever die before their time in that place. So I married a woman, Minhon, from them. I had two sons, Mina, from her. One time, my wife was sitting, and she was cleaning her hair. So Asai Shivasa, her neighbor came, Tarfa Adasha, she banged on the door to ask for my wife. Savar, I said lavur achara. I thought lavur achara. It wouldn't be derech eretz to tell her that she's cleaning her hair. That's not a nice thing to say. Amar la. So he said to her, lei sahacha. She's not here. So he told a white lie. Shchivu lei tartin bin. Two of his sons died. His two sons died. Asu inshi da asra la kame. So the people came before him. This never happened in that city. Amulei my hai, what's going on? Amulehu hachi avamai. So this is what happened. Amulei, they said to him, bimatusa mirach, we ask of you, puk me asra, get out of our place. Velotigri behu, my son of harach inshi, don't incite death against these people. And then the Gemara jumps back to Tanur v'noib Omer Darshim and David Ba. Goes back to the Darshim and David Ba. So what is this digression about this place called Kushta, called Emes, and death before its time? So it seems to me that the point that the Gemara is making is that the difference between Mashiach being here, Yemaisa Mashiach, and pre-Yemaisa Mashiach in Golos, is that Yemaisa Mashiach is Yemei Emes, and Yemei Golos is Yemei Sheker. The world is shrouded in Sheker. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being accessible, not being visible, means that the world believes in Sheker and sees Sheker. We see today that Sheker increases all the time. There is a sense of a need for truth that people have, and there has always been at least a moral sense of telling the truth. But the you find today it doesn't really matter what the truth is anymore. People will say what they please. People will believe what they want. And it doesn't have to be true. It's irrelevant whether it's true or not. The whole art of journalism is the art of telling lies in a way that appears to be true. The whole art of really any kind, not just journalism, but really any kind of telling over of stories or anything like that is done, it's fraught with exaggerations and lies. The facts don't really matter anymore, and it's only getting worse. This is not just a symptom of Golas, it is Golas, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and it's the only thing that's Emes. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shrouded and you can't see him and he's becoming more and more obscure, then Sheker becomes more and more powerful and Emes becomes more and more obscure. Emes, the Gemara here, equates with living a full life and not dying before their time. The it seems to me that the Gemara is trying to say that that's really the whole difference between Yemei Golos and Yemei Samashiach. The time before Mashiach comes, we'll have where Sheker will have reached a point where Emes will be impossible to find. All these, or many of these, symptoms that the Gemara says are all lack of emes. That there's going to be no hope. There's going to be chutzpah, na'arim yalbinu p'nei zekenim, zekenim yamdu l'fnei na'arim, that the whole notion of where to give kavod will be topsy-turvy, the sense of right and wrong will be completely, will be just completely skewed. There will be a general lack of knowing what is the truth. The importance of always telling the truth, always speaking the truth, is really what the Gemara is pushing over here. I read recently in a secular book that said that if you're going to give a talk on a particular subject, the book was saying, make sure you research the subject well and make sure that your facts are correct. And this particular book was critical of of Ronald Reagan and said that don't do like he did, which is that he would often quote things with facts sounding like they were the truth, but later it was discovered that his facts were not really 100% true.
And so, like all the other presidents?
So this particular book was critical of him. I'm not taking sides. To me, it's irrelevant. The point is that when I read that line, I said to myself, why not? What's wrong with presenting facts that aren't true? People will believe you. If you say it with enough confidence, you will make your point. And the fact that that what you're saying is not really true doesn't matter. You will still get your point across. And even if later there will be reports that your facts are untrue, it doesn't change anything.
You lose credibility.
It doesn't happen. Look around today.
In the scientific world.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It does not happen. The scientific world. It doesn't happen in the scientific world either. It does not happen in the scientific world. You can have things that are repeated over and over and over again, and they've been disproven, but it doesn't make a difference. They're repeated anyway.
If you purposely falsify your data, you lose your credibility.
It depends how you do it. If you say it in a way that is believable, you don't lose your credibility. You don't. It doesn't happen.
I'll tell you,
Of course there are mysim. But you can have situations where a scientist or a researcher or a scholar has been discredited by his peers, but publicly he's just as accepted as he always was.
Well, it depends if he's saying that this is fact and not a theory versus like this is fact. And
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether his peers discredit him. The world at large couldn't care less. As long as they like the person has the charisma to be believed, they go with it. The facts don't matter. It's not something that has any real. It's very hard to publicly discredit a person today. Very, very hard. Very, very difficult. You see it in politics all the time, but not only in politics. You see it in the scientific community much more than you see it in politics. And
I guess it depends which scientific community.
I'm talking in the public eye. I'm not talking about within the, you know, in the upper echelons of whatever pursuit it is. But in the public eye, you find it all the time. And nobody knows what the truth is. Nobody knows. So you brought up a hot topic issue, like global warming. Nobody knows whether anything about it, because nobody knows what the truth is, because you have people saying things on both sides. Who's telling the truth? Who knows? There's no way to know. It's true about virtually anything, that as long as a person says it many times and says it convincingly enough, it gets a seat at the table. It doesn't matter how many times it's been discredited, how many times it's been disproven, it doesn't matter. You find it just repeats itself over and over and over again. There's no sense of an adherence to emes, bizmanenu. And it only gets worse. This is in contrast to Yemos HaMashiach. One last point. See, Ian, I just did it to you.
What?
I just said something which you disagreed with, right? I didn't bring any facts to prove what I said. Right?
Who said you have credibility?
But it sounds convincing.
But he's sitting at the head of the table, so we all believe him and not you.
Right? When the Gemara tells us the last 7 years before Mashiach comes, and the Gemara says that the first year will be, Rashi says, Soiva in one place and Rav in another place. The second year will be Chitzei Rav, there will be no Soiva anywhere. The third year will be terrible Rav everywhere, and a lot of people are going to die. The fourth year will be, and Torah will be forgotten. The fourth year will be a little bit of Soiva, but not a lot of Soiva. And the fifth year there will be a lot of Soiva, and people will eat and drink and be happy, and there will be a lot of Torah. So, I've wondered about this many times on two counts. Number one, I've wondered whether, when it talks about drought and famine versus soiva versus satiation, whether it's talking about eating and drinking, And when it talks about Misa, talking about real death, or is it talking about, like the Pasuk says, L'Rav HaLechem L'Tzam L'Mayim Kim L'Shmayas Devei Hashem, that the last Ra'av, the last great Ra'av, as we're coming up to Megillas Rus, like the Targum says in the beginning of Megillas Rus, when it says there are 10 Ra'avs, 10 great famines since the beginning of the world, the 10th one hasn't happened yet, and it's L'Rav HaLechem L'Tzam L'Mayim, that it's not a Ra'av. It's not a ra'av for food or a thirst for water. Kim l'shmayas divrei Hashem. Rather, it's going to be a famine in the word of Hashem. Perhaps that's what it means in this Gemara as well, that there'll be a loss of being connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and death means spiritual death. So I've wondered that. I've also wondered if the 7 years that it's talking about is not 7 years, but it's periods of time. Seven periods of time. Perhaps it's 70 years. 10, 10, 10, 10. Maybe it's 700 years. Maybe it's 35 years, each 5 years. I've wondered this many times, whether this Gemara is taken with the years are taken literally. And so, as dismal and bleak as it looks, it is dismal and bleak, no matter how you explain it. But I wonder if we're not going through it right now and don't realize it. That's what I wonder. Because if it's in terms of Lishmayas Devrei Hashem, we see ourselves how far away we are going from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how difficult it is to know what is Torah, what are we supposed to do, what are we not supposed to do, etc. So I've wondered this many, many times, how literally to take this Gemara about the 7 years before Mashiach comes. Okay, we will stop here. Next week, of course, we will not be having Shir because it will be Shavuos, and we'll pick up Mitzvah Hashem in 2 weeks.